Their minds fully engaged in me. Matgata prana. Their lives devoted to me.
Bodhayantaha.
Preaching.
Parasparam.
Among themselves.
Katayantaha.
Talking.
Chara.
Also.
Maam.
About me.
Nityam.
Perpetually.
Tushanti.
Become pleased.
Cha.
Also.
Ramanti.
Enjoy transcendental bliss.
Cha.
Also.
Translation.
The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Before,
someone else can maybe read the purport.
Do you have one book? Oh, you only have no other English books. Purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, someone may say this is a terrible thing, that one has to be so one becomes so focused that he just can't seem to forget Krishna. He doesn't stray. His mind doesn't go away from Krishna, and they might feel that this is a curse or something like that. That some spell has been placed on him. Now he's got the Krishna curse. The Krishna spell is upon him. And that's how they would think. This is some kind of a black spell. The gopis also speak like that. They say, this spell, we can't stop thinking about Krishna even if we wanted to. They say, yes, let's not think about Krishna, let's talk about something else. And then they say, okay, let's talk about what? Something other than Krishna. But then they say, but we don't have any interest in anything other than Krishna. We can't talk about anything else. And some people might say this is a bad thing. Unhealthy. A spell. Some kind of a hypnotic suggestion we've been now forced into. We can never stop thinking about Krishna. That might frighten some people away. If they were to know that once you start thinking about Krishna, you can't stop. So maybe people are afraid of that. So this verse, we may have to keep more as an internal verse. But we can also explain to them that even if you do get the plague or you get the curse that you're always thinking of Krishna, it's not a bad curse. Because always thinking of Krishna is better than thinking of Maya. If you compare the two, there's really only two. It's either you're thinking of Krishna or you're thinking of Maya. What else is there? If you think of demigods, that's also, it depends. If you're thinking of demigods in relationship with Krishna, then it's Krishna. If you're thinking of demigods as being separate from Krishna, then that's Maya. If you're just thinking Mother Durga, all I care about is Mother Durga, and she's going to give me nice rewards, then that's material. There's nothing... That's material. Krishna says, Kamais Taita, Pritta Jnana, Kapadyan Deya Devata. That those who are impelled by lusty desires, materialistic desires, they worship the demigods to get material. So that's material. But if you think that Durga, Srishti, Satipalaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Kachayeva, Yasya, Bhuvanani, Vibhakti, Durga, Ichana, Rupa, Abhiyasya, Chateish, Tateisa, Govindamari Purusham Tam Amujami. If you think of Durga as the energy of the Lord, and by her arrangement, the material world is being created and annihilated, and it's all working under Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetanana Kante Jagati Parivar today. It's all working under Krishna's direction, then that thinking of Durga is Krishna conscious. So it's non-different than Krishna. But it all depends. A Krishna conscious person, he can think of the same things, the material energy, the bird. Now we hear that bird. So what are we supposed to block out that bird? Did that interfere with our Krishna consciousness? Is that interfering? No. Krishna says, Shabdike, I'm the sound in the ether. So we can think, oh, this is Krishna's sound. This is Krishna, the sound. And we can think that this bird is... Why is he crying? Because he's making some sound. He's signaling some of the other birds of his species. And we can think he's one, another sound that is also Krishna. Then that's even more Krishna because it means someone's coming to Krishna's lotus feet when guest is coming to see Krishna. So that's very nice news. So we can think this bird, he's making that sound. He or she, we don't know. I can't tell. But at least they're making sound because of some social communication. Just like we talk, we make sounds because we like to speak with other humans. So birds, they speak. They have their communication. And that bird is one of the, who knows how many species of birds there are in the material in this universe. Raise your hand if you know how many bird species.
Was it 11 lakhs, 1 million, 100,000?
Close. That's close. That's Primayo Ruta Samkhyaka. That's the reptiles and the insects are 1,100,000. Pakshinam Dashalakshanam. 1 million bird species. So that seagull is one of the 1 million bird species that we understand from the Puranas. And we can also understand that he's flying. Isn't that amazing? That he's got the power to fly. Where did he get that power to fly? Who has arranged the mystic power that he knows how to fly? Who's arranged the design of that body so perfectly that he can fly? And he also has the same desires. He's doing the same thing we're doing. He's looking for food. Isn't it? They're usually crying, food, food's over here. Where's food? The answer is, food's over here. Come on over here. And what type of food? Well, they eat the same things. The humans also fish. Right? Humans like fish. The birds also like to eat fish and other things. And the birds eat, sleep, mate, and defend. That's their whole life. And they're enjoying, even though it's they have to sleep outside, they don't get inside accommodations usually. Usually they have to sleep. But they don't mind. They're satisfied because they have their built-in warmth. They've got their feathers to keep them warm in the winter. And this is all part of the arrangement of the Lord. Why? Why is he in that body? Well, because he desired. He wanted to fly. He wanted to eat those types of things. And that's why you find that the animals, they never have there's no mental hospitals for the birds. They don't get depression. You never see a bird, you know, sitting around for days, crying tears. Do you ever see birds crying tears? I haven't seen. So they're quite well balanced. They're, whatever body they get, they're enjoying it. They're very enthusiastic to make the best of it. They don't think, well, why did I have to become a seagull? I wanted to be an eagle and not just a seagull. Not very, you know, not as respectable. Eagles can fly higher. We seagulls, we can't fly very high. No, they never get envious like that. They see other birds, but they're happy with their body. This is all the arrangement of the Lord, that he gets what he wanted and what he deserves. It's also a punishment. On one hand, it's an opportunity for him to enjoy the pleasures of seagull life for whatever it is, 10 years, how long they live, and to suffer the miseries of seagull life. So it's a mixed arrangement. So in this way, if we think like that, when we hear the sound of the seagull, then it's Krishna. But if we just think that's just a seagull, then it's not Krishna, it's just Maya. Because the materialist, or the person who's accustomed to seeing things in material vision, he also heard that seagull. There they also heard. But it didn't trigger anything spiritual. We can also think, one time I was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada in the morning, and we were walking in a park, and some bird, he started singing. And this bird was really doing a virtuoso concert. And he was using all of his best notes, and it was really quite a solo performance. So Prabhupada stopped, and we all stopped, and Prabhupada just listened. And we were all listening to this bird, and Prabhupada said, that is Krishna. Because the beautiful sounds, whatever is beautiful in this world, is Krishna. That's the whole point of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever is great, that's me. If the sound of the beautiful, of the bird singing is beautiful, I'm that sound. If there's a powerful animal like the lion, that's me. If there's a big animal, if there's a ferocious animal like the fish in the water, that's me. The big ocean, that's me. Whatever is great, it's me. And that way he gives us ways to think of him. That's a very important chapter. Because we can't always, not always so easy to think of Krishna in Vrindavan. Maybe at least for me, maybe for you. But especially when we're in the cities and we're dealing with this material energy,
But it's not always so easy. One time, I was on another morning walk with Prabhupada in Portland, and we were in a park, and there was a lake, and I thought I would ask a question. And I said, "So Srila Prabhupada, is this how it looks in Vrindavan?" Because I had never been to India. And I thought, "Oh, this is a nice looking lake. There's some trees and it was a nice park." And I thought, "Was this how it looks?" He said, "No, not dirty like this." So I didn't have a clear conception of Vrindavan. But it's easy to think of Krishna in these other ways. I'm the sound of ether. I'm the ability in man. Whenever we see someone with great ability, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So now you have, 22 hours to remember that Krishna is the light of the sun, because you have sunshine so many hours. So 22 hours are covered just by having sunlight. Moon? You see moon also here? When?
Not now so much.
Not now. So, both. Luckily you said both. But in the winter you see the moon more, huh? So, in the winter he's the light of the moon for you, and in the summer he's the light of the sun for you. And you could think how this, we're getting more light now because the sun is in Uttarayana when it's traveling in the north. So because it's in a higher, therefore we're getting more sun, and then after a while it goes down to Dakshinayana, means the lower, it travels in the south. This is an auspicious, what is it? Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is explaining those mystics who leave their body when the sun travels in the north, in the daytime, in the light, in the fire, they don't come back. Those who leave in the dark, they come back again. They go to drink the soma rasa. It's a whole system. Leaving the body, whether it's an auspicious time or inauspicious time, it has an effect. If it's an inauspicious time, one has to come back again. If it's an auspicious time, then he doesn't have to come back again. But that doesn't apply to devotees, because for devotees it's always auspicious. It's even beyond auspicious, it's transcendental. Auspicious and inauspicious still refers to a material condition. But if it's transcendental, then it doesn't matter what time. If a devotee leaves in night time or daytime or winter or summer, it doesn't matter. Why? Because Krishna adjusts everything for a devotee. Just like, to give an example, ordinarily, let's say, an ordinary person, if he arrives someplace, well, if he comes at certain times, there's a car waiting for him or there's a taxi. But if he's delayed and he comes late, then the car's not there, the taxi's not there. But if he's a special person, a VIP, then the company, they make a special arrangement to have the car there. Ordinary person might not get that. So the devotee is a VIP. You may not know it because you're not treated like VIP so much in Finland or in the Western countries. They don't know that devotees are VIPs. You know what VIP means? Very important person. But actually they are VIPs because Krishna holds them in very high esteem. He considers them very exalted. So, because Krishna considers us very exalted doesn't mean I should think I'm very exalted. No, we should think the other devotees are very exalted. I'm not very exalted. I'm just a kind of pseudo-devotee. Just kind of masquerading as a devotee, or
aspiring to become a devotee someday. That's the proper way to think of that. Not that I am a devotee, but I would like to be a devotee. Or I'm associating with devotees. But still, Krishna does hold the devotees in high esteem. All the other devotees Krishna holds in high esteem. That he has been very special. And Krishna makes all arrangements for them. They don't have to worry where they are, or whether it's auspicious time or not. Like the yogis. The yogis have to be so careful when they're breaking through the Brahmarandra, when they're performing their yoga. The idea is they're waiting for an auspicious moment when they feel they're self-realized and they burst out, they bring their life air up through the different chakras and they burst out the third eye and then they can go to any planet they like, whether material or spiritual. And if they're very expert and they do it just at the right time, then they don't have to come back again. So we're not following that process. The process of bhakti yoga is so nice that you just do your devotional service and you don't worry about it. We gave the example of the kitten. The kitten in the mouth of the calf. Last night we spoke about that. So the kitten doesn't have to worry about anything. But the yogis, they're trying to do it on their own strength. If you say, why don't you surrender to Krishna? They say, I'm going to make everything by my own power. They're compared to the little monkey, the baby monkey that's carried by the mother monkey. So how is that? The mother monkey climbs from tree to tree and the baby monkey has to hold on to her back with his little hands. Have you seen that? Those of you who have been to Vrindavan, you've seen the monkey. The little baby monkey is trying to hold on to the mother monkey. She's swinging from tree to tree. Well, the baby monkey can fall off. It's very dangerous. Not as good a system as the cat system of mother taking care. So that's compared to the yogis. They try to do everything by their own strength, or the gyanis, by my own intelligence. I don't have to surrender. I just figure it out. I've got such a powerful brain, I can figure everything out. Why should I surrender? I'll do everything just with my brain. Why do I have to bow down or pick up some mop and clean the floor? I don't have to do that. I've got such a brain. I can adjust everything in my intelligence. But the problem is that they're depending on their little strength, their little hands to hold on, and they can fall down very easily. Whereas devotee doesn't have to worry very much. Because as long as he's submissive and happy to be under the care of the all kind Lord. Continuing in the purport. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So someone asked me about this just yesterday. How can we be 24 hours engaged in chanting and Kirtaniya Sadahadi? How can we be always engaged in chanting? Well, aren't we sleeping also? Even now, not everyone's chanting. We're hearing. So yes, the idea is we're always engaged in chanting and hearing. Much chitta, madgata. Much chitta, madgata prana. Bodhyanta parasparam. Kantiyanta, Jamal Nityam. Nityam means perpetually. They're always talking about me. The topic is always Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything Krishna. Because they've become very attracted to Krishna. Just like, you know, when you see young parents, they've just got the child. They talk only about the child. What did he say this morning? He said, how did he say it? He went goo goo. How did he say goo goo? Was it like? That's all they talk about. How's the child? What did he eat? The grandmother calls him, how much did he eat this morning? What new clothes? Did he get new clothes yet? No, no, we got. Is he outgrown? How much does he weigh? They're always talking about the baby. Because that's their focus, that's their. They're absorbed in that. But the devotees are absorbed in Krishna. What did Krishna eat? What did Krishna wear this morning? What kind of dress? What type of jewelry? Is it, what were the flowers like? What was the background? What preparations will we cook for him today? What preparations will we cook tomorrow? How many guests came to see Krishna today? Which demon did he kill this morning? He killed Bakasura this morning. I wonder which demon he'll kill tomorrow. I wonder what time he's going to be dancing the Rasa dance with the gopis. And the cowherd boys are also absorbed. They're carrying messages. The gopis, they call over the cowherd boys. They say, Subal, come here, Subal. And so Subal comes over and says, take this note and give it to Krishna. So Subal goes over quietly, gives him the note. And then Radharani says, come here. One of the cowherd boys says, I want you to whisper this in Krishna's ear. And they do it. They're part of it. Even the parrots participate in these pastimes. Sometimes the parrots carry messages when more secret, you know, when they're in the house or something, then you can't have a cowherd boy going there. If the gopi is with, let's say she's with her family, so you can't necessarily have a cowherd boy go there, one of Krishna's friends, but you can have a parrot go, so they have the parrots. Everybody's absorbed in Vrindavan. And even the elderly gopis, they're always singing songs about Krishna. And when Krishna came and stole butter from them, it gave them such a nice opportunity. They could speak all day long about it. Then they went to Mother Yashoda to lodge complaints. You know your son, he's stealing butter from my house, breaking the pot, giving the pot of yogurt out to his friend, then giving it to the monkeys. And then he, to make it seem like he didn't do it, he goes and smears butter on the mouth of my baby. So when I come back, I think the baby did it. This is your son. What are you doing? So this way they're always absorbed. And when they speak with their husband, they say, you know what Krishna did today? He stole butter. Oh, really? You should speak to Yashoda. Well, I did speak to Yashoda. They're talking. And then the cowherd boys, they go back home and said, you should see what Krishna did today. What? Well, he knocked over these two big trees, and then some shining personalities came out, and they talked to Krishna, and Krishna sent them off to somewhere else. Amazing things. Krishna does all these, performs all these wonderful pastimes to give us and to give the residents of Vrindavan topics to discuss. Luckily, Krishna is very active and his activities are quite blissful. If he just laid around and slept all day, that wouldn't be very... Huh? Krishna slept for 14 hours today. Or 16 hours, it wouldn't be very exciting. Luckily, Krishna doesn't sleep very much. He's doing so many things. He's going off with the gopis. Mother Yashoda thinks, now Krishna is asleep. I can go to bed peacefully knowing my child is sleeping. But little does she know, he jumped out the window and he's off doing Rasa Lila.
And he comes back just in time for her to wake him up in the morning. And she thinks, oh, he had a good night's sleep. But Krishna is not much into sleeping. He likes dancing and doing other things. So, the good, we can also take this as a hint for us also not to sleep too much. Because if you want to be 24 hours engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes, then you need to sleep zero. Because otherwise, how can you glorify Krishna when you're sleeping? Does anyone do that? Are there any people here that talk in their sleep? You probably know the brahmacharis if there's someone who talks in their sleep. Sometimes devotees talk in their sleep, but they do talk about Krishna. I've had many experiences in the brahmacharya ashram. Someone wakes up and goes, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, he's chanting. Have you ever heard that? You've heard? Yes. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, or sometimes preaching. No. The Mayavadi cannot go back to Krishna. Mayavadi Pasha Shrule Hoya Sarvanash. Chanting some verses of defeating Mayavadis. So if we can become so absorbed that even while we're sleeping, we're speaking in our sleep, or if not speaking out loud, at least thinking of Krishna, then we're making progress. Then we're pure devotees. So this is, there are different definitions of what is a pure devotee. Here's one. 24 hours a day. Even while he's sleeping, he's absorbing Krishna. That type of pure devotee is especially honored here. Any questions?
Maharaj, you were explaining that devotees don't have to worry about how they are going back to Godhead. So now we are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and about how the sages went to the gates of Vaikuntha and they saw Jaya and Vijaya there. So do the devotees also go to some gates, or what happens when the devotee dies and how does he go back to Godhead?
Prabhupada was speaking on this in one lecture. And he said, the devotee, he closes his eyes for a few seconds. That's death. And then he opens his eyes and he looks around and he's in the land of Krishna. It's pretty easy. Easy program. Because Krishna makes the arrangement for his transportation. If you had to make the arrangement yourself, you know, how to go through the Milky Way, then to break through go through the different coverings of the universe, through the earth covering, that's a tough one. Then you gotta go through water 10 times more, then fire. You know, what kind of fire protection would you have? It's like they send the spaceships out, but they have to shield them from the Van Allen belt, all the radiation. And some people say they couldn't have gone to the moon or Mars because they go through the Van Allen belt and they would have all been bombarded and all these. Then you go, there's different environments, it's very hot, it's very cold. If you get closer to the sun, it gets very hot. What will your little body do? You'll leave behind the body, and then the subtle body. You don't know how to travel in the spiritual, you're not so experienced. But luckily Krishna he arranges all the transportation. Krishna does it. So you're there. You arrive in a few seconds and you turn around, you look around, I'm in the land of Krishna.
Maharaj, you mentioned something about how the sun is traveling. Can you explain something more about it?
Sun is goes around on Manasotra Mountain. It's a mountain about halfway out in the Bhumalu. And sun has one wheel on the Manasotra Mountain, which is circular. But then there's also another, there's one axle that goes and connects to the top of Mount Meru. So that keeps the wheel connected going around. But then there's another axle that the chariot is on, and that axle goes up to the pole star. And that axle slides, goes up and down. Well, that's the up and down motion of the sun. When it goes up, that's Uttarayana. For 6 months it goes up, one digit per day, one space. And then once it reaches the top, the solstice, then it goes back down again. So that up-down motion, that's Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. And that's why you're getting so much sun now and less sun later.
When I'm preaching to people in the street, I sometimes tell them that all sense gratification is taking you further away from God. But they feel this is very, without sense gratification, it's very narrow life. They feel there isn't enough to do or something. So how can you tell, how can I please nicely at this point?
Enough to do.
It feels narrow, too narrow.
Yeah, I understand. They think it's restrictive. That they think they're in a better position because they have the option to do sense gratification of all different sorts. And if they want, they can also have Krishna. And they like that they think they're in a better position. That they don't have to be narrow-minded. But actually, they are the ones who are narrow-minded. Because they don't even know about the spiritual world. They're dealing with just this little world, the material world, which is Ekapad Vibhuti, which is only one quarter. Tripad Vibhuti, the spiritual world, is three times larger. So they're already restricted down to one third. They can't enter the spiritual world. Because you have to be a devotee to enter into the spiritual world. You should tell them like that. You're restricted here. Into the Ekapad Vibhuti. Not only Ekapad Vibhuti, but because they don't have any knowledge about higher subjects, they can't even leave this planet. How many people are not on this planet? How many humans from planet Earth are in space right now or on some other planet? None. Not even one. So although they supposedly sent them up for, you know, some walking for a few hours or a few days, whatever they did on the moon. But they're all back now and nobody's gone since. Since that walk. What was it, 20 years ago? When was the last walk?
38 years ago.
Yeah, so such a long time ago. They took a walk. One human or two humans did some walking or bouncing on the moon. And now no one's gone since all that time. That means we're all restricted to the Earth planet. Not only Ekapad Vibhuti are we restricted to the material energy, the one quarter energy, but we're restricted to one planet. But look at Narad Muni. Narad Muni goes anywhere. He goes in the spiritual world, he goes to Goloka, he goes to any of the Vaikunthas, he goes to any of the universes. He's completely free. Now, which is more narrow-minded, would you say? To be restricted to one little planet? Or like Narad Muni, he's going everywhere. They say, who's Narad Muni? Well, that's the point. You're so restricted. You're so close-minded, you don't even know about Narad Muni.
You haven't even read the Vedas. The original books, the most important books in the world, you don't even know about them. You have been kept, like they say sometimes, you know, you're a mushroom. You've been kept, you know, in the dark. Look what's happened to you. Your system of education, your system of culture is so dark that you don't even know that there's a spiritual world. And you're saying that we're narrow-minded. We know about the material world, but we also know about the spiritual world, which is so much bigger and so much better. Therefore, you better read these books and expand your horizons. Get out of the darkness. Tamasi ma, jyotir, come on. Come out of the darkness. Come into the light. Come enlightened. How long will you sleep in this darkness? How long do you want to go on dying and then being born again? Sometimes as a seagull, sometimes as a snake, sometimes as a dog, sometimes as a worm, sometimes human being, then dying again, and another womb, you're put in the womb of the mother, you have to sit there for 9 months in a very unpleasant, uncomfortable situation, all twisted up, can't move. What about that narrow-mindedness? How do you like being in the womb, you're stuck there, dark, and the little bugs, they eat. Your skin is so sensitive and the little bugs, they're biting in the mother's womb. And then the mother eats some hot chili and ooh, it hurts. Because your sensitive body, you know, what she eats, it affects you. Then she smokes. Then when she drinks alcohol, you're... So many things. You're having to suffer. And then we won't speak about other things if she decides that she doesn't want to have your association. So, I mean, this is a very dangerous place, full of suffering. You say it's so nice here, but what about all the dukkhas? What about all the miseries? What about if you go for a routine checkup to the doctor and say, oh, sorry, you have terminal cancer. What about that? You try to make it so happy here. It's not a happy place. It's a place meant for suffering. Why don't you go to the place where there's no cancer? Why don't you go to the place where there's no death? There's no old age. Oh, I didn't know there was a death. Again, narrow-minded. Nobody's teaching you these things. You need to get into a different association. But you won't find out about these things in the pub and, you know, the other similar places.
Maharaj, sometimes we hear comments that, like that we are not so advanced that we can speak about Krishna all the time, so we should be allowed to speak topics from material but also that we should not be so serious about this. So
topics of material, like what the football team, which one's winning this week. And it's called Prajapa. Mm-hmm. Rupa Goswami says this is Prajapa. And what does he say? Atyahara prayasascha prajapa niyamagraha janasangascha lolimcha shabhi bhakti vinashati. This destroys bhakti. Raghunath Das Goswami said that idle, useless talk is like a highway robbery. It robs you from bhakti. You know, if you're driving down the road somewhere, and then suddenly you come to a place, and you start getting an eerie feeling, and then there's some cars blocking, They're blocking the road, so there's maybe a truck and some cars, so you slow down. And somebody's out and they say, slow down, slow. And then after you pull up, then a bunch come up from behind and they say, get out of the car, give us all your money, otherwise we'll kill you. And then they leave you on the street and they take your car. That's highway robbery. That's what Raghunath Das Goswami said happens when you speak Prajapa. You get robbed. You lose all your wealth. Either that or you get killed. If you try to put up a fight, then they shoot you. So yeah, I guess it's not too bad. If you don't mind highway robbery, I know I usually visit Bulgaria every year, and they told me, you know, that to be a little cautious when you come into Bulgaria, highway robbers. I said, highway robbers? They still have such things there. But they do, so it's a little dangerous because you're driving, you're on the open road, there's no police, there's nobody around, and if they decide you have a nice enough car, then they... So generally it's not a good idea to bring a new car there. They like newer cars. But it's a little frightening, is highway robbery. But anyway, what is the bliss that you get out of speaking mundane things? What kind of pleasure do you get out of that? It's like if somebody goes to the movies. You have movie theaters in cinema? So he goes to the movie and people chew gum. A lot of times they chew chewing gum. And after they chew it at the cinema, they stick it under the seat. So if you go to the cinema and you forgot to bring any chewing gum, so you're feeling in this, ah! There's some here. And you, oh, this is great. I forgot to bring my gum, but there's some here. And you think, ah, oh, now I'm going to get some. I hope it's strawberry or something. And you try to chew that gum. How much taste will you get? Probably nothing. Because it's all chewed out. Puna, puna, charvata, charvana. It's already been chewed. And you're thinking, ah, nice, now I can get some pleasure. So that's what material talks, mundane discussions, it's already chewed. There's no pleasure in it. You're chewing. You're reading the newspaper, but this is the same chewing gum again and again. There's nothing new. They call it news. What's new? The same old thing. Such and such killed such and such, and then you know, he was bleeding, he was taken to the hospital, and then the doctor tried to save him, but he died. Then somebody else got raped. She was walking, then she got raped. And the politician, he said, now we're going to lower taxes this year. This year we're definitely going to lower the taxes. I promise you this. And then somebody declares war, and they invaded, and they took their oil. And it's the same old business. Nothing new. This team, he kicked a goal and he won the cup. The cup went to them. And who cares? It's like if the ants, you know, if four ants got in an argument today, and they do. You know, ants also get in arguments. Did you know that? Yeah, they do. If you watch sometimes, you'll see one ant. He's pulling something back to the nest or whatever. So he's working, and another ant comes up and says, no, I'm going to take it. And he starts pulling it. And they'll say, no, I'm taking it. And then they both have a quarrel about which one's going to take it. So would you be interested to hear the latest quarrel? Now, this ant named such and such, or number 4,500,000,062,000, he got into a quarrel with ant number 4,674,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, some other ants came, and ant numbers 4,679,842 and 805,494. They came in, and luckily they were a little stronger, and they sided with one of the original ants, and the other ant, he went along peacefully, so there was no problem. Would you like to hear this news every day? That's just one speed, that's just the ant speed, one nest. What, there's so many different things you could hear about the ants, what they're doing. And then the cockroaches, would you like to hear about cockroach news? One cockroach today was trying to get some food in the toilet when suddenly it flushed. And he was flushed out. But fortunately, a rescue team of cockroaches went down to try to save him. They weren't successful, though, and services will be held this evening. And then there's cockroaches, and there's elephants, and there's tsetse flies, and there's a mosquito, news amongst the mosquitoes, news amongst the trees. Today, one of the largest trees, who's been standing there for about 400 years, he tried to encroach on another tree. He put his branch right into, so the other tree was not very pleased. He lodged a complaint with the Bureau of encroachment. And then underground, the one tree's roots, he started to encroach on the other tree's roots and cut off the water supply, and then they formed a protest group, and they... All these things are going on. And what about the worm? Worm number 4,779,852 was just leisurely walking, and a bird came up and ate him up. His relatives were looking for him madly all day. They couldn't find out where he was. They put an investigation team, the FBI is out trying to find out for clues. They're looking for clues. They're checking footprints. So they saw some footprints in the vicinity, and they looked like it might have been a blackbird, but they're not sure. It might have been also a sparrow. So they're going to take it to the laboratory for further investigation. They're bringing in some big scientists from the United States. Same things are going on, but you're not interested. So why do you think that if someone kicks a ball through some, some posts of wood, that's news? You think the demigods are interested in this? This is a complete waste of our lives. What is that, Bhagavatam? Ayurhati Bhayapunsam Ojyanastam Chayanasam Tasyate Yakshinanita Utma Shokavarta. The sun every day rises and sets and steals away the lifespan of every living entity except those who are speaking about Krishna. Same. It's a very good, it links with this verse. But only those who are talking about Krishna, the sun is not stealing away their life. Because the sun is the time maker. The time maker is the sun. Because the sun keeps moving, therefore time is going on. Otherwise there's no time. As the sun keeps moving, your lifespan is decreased. But if you engage in hearing and glorifying Krishna, then the sun's rising and setting doesn't affect. You're on the transcendental platform.
Maharaj, in one sense, things connected to one's service are also spiritual, but I have a feeling that if you are discussing like managerial things hour after hour, all day, it's like taking your energy, but if you discuss philosophy or Krishna Katha, then it's like giving you...
No, it's not material, but we have to keep it in balance. It's spiritual. But if you overdo it, if you do more of that than is required, that's over-endeavor. Uh-huh. Prayasaha. So there's atyahara prayasascha prajapamya. So prayasa means over-endeavoring for material things which are difficult. So it may become, you can make it material if you go too far. You have to remember that I'm doing this for Krishna and it's for Krishna's pleasure, and it's not the only thing that I have to do. I also have to chant 16 rounds, I also have to see the deities, I also have to hear Bhagavatam, I also have to hear Bhagavad Gita. Right? But if you just talk managerial and you forget these other things, then it can also become material. Although, we need to keep the balance in devotional service. I'm just trying to think how you could make something into a material. Yes, if you try, just like even Prabhupada, he had big ideas for big projects, but he also would see that if it's difficult, if it's not coming so easily, then maybe we shouldn't do it. Just chant Hare Krishna. You know, maybe Krishna doesn't want this. So sometimes you have to have that idea too. That maybe Krishna wants me. Especially if you're not feeling very enlivened. If you're doing management and you're feeling that, you know, I'm losing my, you know, like you said, I'm not feeling very enlivened, then maybe just go chant Hare Krishna or read the books. Like that. We have to always keep in an enlivened state of devotional service. And there's many activities that we can perform. Go take some prasadam. That's usually something that gives us a little pick-me-up, a little encouragement. Prasadam is very important. Okay? Anything else? Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
So this Dhanavir Maharaj ki jai.